Abbotsford author Jade Lang is publishing her latest book titled One Take Jake in August. The novel centers around the main character Lance, a guitarist seeking revenge against a band that sexually assaulted his sister. On his journey, Lance meets Tessa, a young woman and witness, who goes down a spiral of drugs and despair as she handles the trauma of what she's seen. Together, Tessa and Lance handle the events that have changed their lives and views. Lang, who often takes inspiration from local events in society and Canadian culture, drew on both her own life as a costume designer for rock bands and working on TV and film sets as an actress. But it was a new story of Lower Mainland-based band Headley's lead singer sexually assaulting fans that sparked her interest in her latest book's setting and story. As part of her research, Lang interviewed a variety of notable artists on their experiences and thoughts on sexual violence in the music industry. Coming up is the full interview with author Jay Lang. Content warning, this story discusses sexualized violence and may be hard to hear. Listener discretion is advised.
Before I get into like the root of my questions here, I just want to say, like, 12th book in like 4 years. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. How has that process been? What gets you just pumping these out in such a fast way?
You know what, Taryn, it was so weird because I never wanted to write ever. And then when I started writing, it was just like this spew, like this river, you know. And I write like murder mysteries and thrillers and suspense, and so it's really strange because I'm the biggest chicken ever. Like, I don't watch any horror movies. I'm the biggest baby, and yet I had all this twisted stuff in my head I didn't know I did. And the more I wrote, the more, you know, came out, and it was just wild, you know. So yeah, it just one book after. If I didn't write, like, I write a book in 6 weeks with 2 weeks on top of that for research and outlining. So for me, if I at the end of it, you're so tired and drained, and you're, or at least I am, I'm like, oh thank God, it's over. I'm gonna take a big break. And every book I say that, and within about 3 days I'm itching. I'm like, God damn it, I gotta write another one.
I'll be honest with you, I'm also a huge suspense, thriller, murder mystery guy myself. It's like, it's probably my second favorite genre, but yes. I'm also a big chicken. Like, I can't watch horror movies either.
Oh, really?
So why suspense and thriller for you? What got you into that? Maybe is it because you're kind of a self-proclaimed chicken that's why you got into it? You got to kind of like be on the other foot of it all?
Exactly. The only thing that I can describe it as is I'm a huge Stephen King fanatic, but not because of his horror stuff. The reason why is because I find him a very linear writer, and I'm a very linear writer. And I find that when he gives lectures, he makes a lot of sense to me. And somebody asked him, you know, why is it you write all this twisted stuff? Like, what's wrong with you? And he said, everything you're afraid of in your escape, in your mind, you know, everything that you're afraid of when you're a child, the monster under the bed and everything. He found that if he purged that, all of his fears, it kind of released them, you know, from him. And it was really cool. I just listened to him talk about it, and I thought, that's exactly the way I feel, you know. It's like my biggest fears in the world I'm starting to write about now in this last book. And it's just horrifying. It's like, oh my God. But once they're out, I'm not afraid of that kind of stuff anymore, if that makes any sense.
That totally makes sense in terms of building your own fears. So are a lot of your books kind of based off of a specific fear you've had around that topic?
Every one of my books unintentionally has a thread of, if it's anything to do with what's going on in society right now. I think I'm terrified. I don't do drugs, and I'm terrified of drugs. And so when I had to do a lot of research about them, you know, I obtained a lot of knowledge, and it let me kind of explore, you know, what it is I'm afraid of and what can happen, and act as a caution to other people of what could happen. And it's not just drugs. You know, we all have, you know, especially now at I'm a mature student. So at my age now, you know, you can't help but live life, you know, through either it's osmosis, through, you know, witnessing other people go through things, or yourself. And yeah, I think there is like an element of Janice in this too, of Jay in this too, you know, that has experienced things either through watching it, observing it, or being through it myself, that, yeah, you kind of write about and it's very therapeutic.
This new book, One Take Jake.
Yeah.
All right. A couple things that jumped out to me about it. One was that it's all around the music industry. It centers around there. And you have a history as a costume designer for rock bands and TV and film. So, especially about like the sexual abuse that happens in the industry. I thought it was a really powerful topic to go on. When you were doing your research for it, how much of this was personal stances into it? How much was a lot of from your own personal background or like friends you had in the industry? So how much of the research did you actually have to like do and learn? And how much did you already kind of have an inkling and know was around?
So I would say 90% of it I knew, and maybe 10% of it. Like the things that I didn't know were things like technical terms, like for when you go into a concert and there's, you know, you see there's like a center thing where people are standing in the middle of the room, in the middle of the auditorium or whatever. And that's called like FOH for front of house. And that's where they do their stuff or different things like that, you know, different lighting terms, different things like that. So that it was more on the technical end.
So what a lot of the stories of the whole, you know, even like taking the event that happens in Jake's life with his sister's death. And that was that moment of the story kind of spurned on by others that you had heard or ones that you had knew about as well, or what created the idea?
What sparked it? Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it was really weird because I don't usually watch television, and I was watching, it was on in the background kind of thing, and I was sitting on the sofa with my dog, and all of a sudden there was like this news brief that came up, and it was about, unfortunately, one of our people here in Canada, but it was about somebody that had drugged and raped. He was a musician. And, you know, or they were musicians and they had drugged and raped young girls. It was just terrible. And I thought, I watched it. And then I looked up other ones across the world, like in the States and in Europe and stuff. And this had happened. And, you know, once is too much, right? But it had happened before. And it just pissed me off. And I was watching it. And I wanted to write my next book. And I was never thinking of writing about this. But I couldn't shake it. I was so pissed off that I couldn't shake it. I was so angry and so disgusted. And I thought, you little pukes, how could you do this to these young girls and ruin their lives? And, you know, and it made me so sick. I was so angry and passionate that I couldn't get past it. So I decided to write One Take Jake about it. So that's kind of the way it was spawned, is just I couldn't shake what I knew, and it just made me sick. And I wanted to write this book and show a contrast between there are really legitimate, respectable artists out there. And, you know, and the contrast is to these monsters that are doing these things of young groupies or girls that are, you know, it's a misuse of power, right? These guys have, and these young girls are going and they're thinking, wow, this is so cool. And they're so excited. And then, you know, they're spotted in the crowd and they're chosen, and then their horrible things happen to them, you know, not always, but in this specific cases they do. And so I kind of wanted to do it for that reason too, to show, you know, shine a light in a dark corner.
In part of your research, I see that you had some voices from like Whitesnake and Deep Purple. And so how was talking to them, to these musicians who either A, have like know a lot about this as well, like their perspective on these events and you writing about this. So what was working with them like?
Like everybody I chose were respectable artists, and they were sick of this happening in the industry, every single one of them. And they were like, Jay, whatever you need us to do. They wrote quotes in the book and opinions in the book. Jolynn Turner from Deep Purple's on the back of the book. Like, it was just crazy. And then, yeah, they were like, you know what? This is something that needs to be addressed. And they thanked me. They were like, thank you for writing this. So more it was their opinion on and how they feel about, you know, this happening in their industry that's casting a dark shadow on the entire music industry as a whole. I had some that said, you know, back in, you know, the day when everything was crazy and wild and sex, drugs and rock and roll, you know, yeah, it was out of hand and it was wild, but, you know, it was all consensual between all parties, you know, between everybody that was involved. You know, if there was sex to take place, it was very much consensual. That's where they have this turmoil with it, is because they didn't sign out up for this in the industry. They signed up to make music, for creating it and for that purpose. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was very, Taryn, it was so cool. These guys were, some of them were just brilliant too. I was like, oh my God, like some of the things they wrote in the book, it was just like, you know, really trippy. And yeah, they felt very strongly about it.
Did that input did that help create the character of Jake? Or did you already have an idea for who's going to be the main protagonist going into the project?
Yeah, Jake, One Take Jake is a name that studios give session workers, right? So they go in and and if they cut it and if they get it perfect in one take, the studio execs or the studio people or engineers call them One Take Jake because they did it in one take. And so that's kind of where I got the name from, you know.
But the actual character himself, did that come up and get fleshed out as you talk to these artists? Or
yes.
The character himself already getting
good question up? And yeah, it did, because I kind of amalgamated all these opinions and these personalities that I was speaking with, And this character, the character's name is Lance. And Lance, he really developed, used everybody else's opinions and kind of made him this vigilante kind of guy to seek justice. I just pulled in everybody else's view and their disdain for this horrible act.
When researching and even having read some of your Path manuscripts and everything, you have a really big focus on female protagonists, especially LGBTQ plus protagonists. This is really, from my understanding, one of the only ones that is a heterosexual male protagonist. Did you have that in mind when you first came up with the idea? Or like, what about that? Why did you choose this one specifically to be a heterosexual male?
You know, I like to write non-intentionally. I like to add LGBTQ characters to all of my novels, just because I like it, an all-inclusive thing. I like to involve minorities. Like for me, it's like, I don't know if I'll write another LGBTQ or if I won't. As you know, as a writer, when you're writing, sometimes the story decides itself, you know, so you're just kind of along for the ride, you know. I didn't intentionally do that. I think like we talked about, it just kind of pissed me off. So I was centered around that. And then, yeah, this, you're right, though. This is my second book that has, I don't think it has any LGBTQ in it. This first one was Snake Oil, and this one, Jake. I think these are the only two so far that don't have. Yeah, good question. I think they're the only ones that don't have LGBTQ. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this one, I think, is the first one where the actual main character is male, really. Like, and so I thought that was a really significant thing, that especially just tying into the topic you're discussing, that very primarily male dominant field. And do you think the story could have been the same if it was a female protagonist, or do you think that because it's a male protagonist, because you write so few of them, that it really brings more weight to this, especially with the fact that he's a ventral character in an industry that he kind of dominates in, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's and it's true, because you can look at it and go, wait a minute, this is a bit hypocritical, or this is a bit, you know, whatever. But I think being a woman and writing this, I was able to give him a different perspective in a way on what was going on with these acts. And I think for me anyway, it was because I did think of that, Taryn. I did. I thought, wait a minute, you know, is this going to come off as a chick writing a guy, or, you know, whatever. And so I think because we're all, you know, we're all human beings and we all have these fundamental, you know, emotions and opinions and things that make us human beings, I think that I just kind of tried to down the female side of it while keeping my perspective on having the compassion and having that. Yeah, because I think in the character, in the lead character, he was so upset about what had happened and so disgusted that I kind of used that female victim for I was trying to speak for the victim in it as well. And I used her energy to come through him as well.
One of the things I wanted to ask was, in the synopsis, he meets Tessa, her striking beauty and wild character consume him and everything, and pushes aside that act and finds some peace. So when you're writing this character of Tessa, was that also was she also a character that was brought up by the musicians, told the stories of females in their lives?
Yeah.
But also, was she written differently? Did you go about writing her in a different way, especially knowing the role that she was going to be playing and what she's kind of representing as a character in a way?
Yeah, she was another scary thing for me to approach. And I think with Tessa, I had went downtown Abbotsford and I had seen Tent City, like that area, Tent City or whatever. And there was this young girl there. I looked at her and I wondered about her life. Was she educated? Did she come from a good home? How she ended up in this situation? And I think that I remember meeting her that day and I thought, you know, Tessa came from a very good upper crust, huge class distinction. Like she was at the higher class. She came from privilege. And then she ended up like this. And that was a byproduct of witnessing Lance's sister be raped. And I think that she became hard and cold because of that. And her only escape for that was drugs. Tessa was, I wanted to show Tessa as being cause and effect, right? Like, okay, so this horrible, horrible thing happened, but now Tessa, this is what happens. This is the byproduct of when you witness such a horrible thing. It doesn't just go away because it stopped happening. It's not happening to that person anymore. It doesn't. There's residual issues that stick to that person that they're stuck with for life. And that's kind of what I wanted to present. I'm bringing Tessa back in the second book, actually, because she's such a strong character. Yeah, yeah.
So there's a second one to this one?
It's just, yeah, I actually met with film people the other day and that are going to be, I met with them for a couple hours in Vancouver, and they are going to be, or they are now shopping this to studios in Los Angeles and stuff for film and stuff. So and they just said to me when I was leaving, they said, "Jay, get writing that sequel." I said, "I will, I'm on it." But yeah, so I haven't done that yet. I'm just kind of still throwing balls up
Okay.
in the air.
Were you trying to not just embody kind of like a mere factor of Lance's sister, but was Tessa's character to pull in another factor of women in the story then?
And yeah, she was the showpiece. She was the one to show that, you know what, like the like we talked about that boomerang effect, or that, you know, whatever effect, that this is what happens. And I think with Tessa, but it almost evens out between her and Lance, where you're wondering what the hell's going to go on. And she really surprises everybody in the end of this book, because she kind of goes away and everyone thinks, oh, she's just a victim now, and she will always be nothing, because it destroyed her. So obviously no one's expecting her to do what she does at the end of the novel, you know. So she really stands up, and but you could see her fighting for herself back, for her identity back, instead of what she had witnessed and what they stole from her, and she fights.
So I only really have like one more thing for you. So for new readers who come into this, and let's say this is their first one, or just in general, like as you want people to read it, what do you hope makes readers think at the end of this novel?
My biggest hope is obviously for warning to girls. That's the biggest thing is, but secondly, is to have people have a non-prejudice when it comes towards, you know, whatever Lance does, and understand that obviously there are murders, and they are Tarantino style murders. They're not, it's pretty gory, you know, and stuff at times, but it's not used like a hack and slash. It's used as a metaphor, like they're trying to rid the evils, you know, out of this industry, you know. And so I hope that they will see that and understand that, you know, sometimes bad in things can change our perspective. It's not just a blanket rule where this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. You know, sometimes incidents and tragedy can change the way that we might proceed, the way that we might changes our actions. Definitely, tragedy definitely could change our actions. And so I think that's all. I think that's what I would hope that they would take away from that, is just to be open-minded, you know.
One Take Jake is set to release in August on both digital and in-print copies. This story has been brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, telling the local stories from across the nation. For this full story and more like it, go to canada-info.ca.